It's lovely to be able to come visit you this morning and just share some worship time together. Thank you so much, Karen and the team, for doing that for us. I hope that you, like me, have had many opportunities to celebrate Christmas throughout not just the time of Christmas, but the Advent before it. The singers from the South, we came here to sing for with you at your Christmas concert. It was the 28th of November, I seem to remember. And for me, that was when Advent started. From that point onwards, it just seemed a wonderful month of celebration. And I hope that you had similar opportunities. But now, it's over. We're here. We're back in routine. Routine in our personal lives and also routine in the church life. I'm the local preacher secretary for the Anchor Circuit. Yes, I hear you calling. Can we have the old one back, please? But Gemma's just wonderful. She's been wonderful support when I've needed to know little bits and bobs. So as local preacher secretary, and with Ben and Stephen, we sat down last week to make the plan for March through to May. And I can tell you, it's a pretty daunting prospect as we sat there and looked at 84 empty boxes. And they'd all got to be filled before we could leave. But thanks to some homemade soup, Stephen makes wonderful homemade soup, and some leftover Christmas cake, Catherine makes wonderful Christmas cake, we were all done in a mere 5 hours. Great. Now Gemma's pleased that she's no longer the local preacher secretary. We managed to fill the grid. Fabulous. A previous minister once said to me, God can count. And you know he's right. And I have a wonderful example for you just to prove it. We were planning our summer Bible club for the children. And we sent out invitations to every single primary aged child in Halesowen. That's a lot of children. It would have been a disaster if none of them had come to our club. But it would have been an even bigger disaster if they'd all come. So we prayed that God would send us just the right amount of children so that we could nurture them, teach them, delight them, but not so many, heaven forbid, that we ran out of jammy dodgers. And in all the years that year, and in all the years since, we have always had just the right number of children in our holiday clubs. Yes, God can count. And the same could be said of the plan. By the time we'd filled 74 of our 84 boxes, it was getting a little bit tight, but we still just had a few remaining offers from local preachers to fill those last boxes. We got through to 84 and a full plan with really very little to spare. But we rejoiced that we could truly fill the plan according to the strengths and the generosity of the local preachers that had offered their dates, and also, very importantly, to best fit the requirements and the needs of the churches involved. Again, God can count. We praise God that he lifted up sufficient people to lead worship in each of our 6 churches so that we can continue doing what we all do, which is to reveal the good news to our congregations and beyond. We praise him. We give him praise for our worship groups, our technicians, our stewards, our refreshment rotas. I heard the little cry out there for the coffee rota, and all the other important jobs that somebody needs to do in order that Our churches are living and vibrant places in service to our Lord, so that we can make our churches a place where we can invite, where we can explore, where we can praise, when we can unburden, when we can commit, where we can pray, and where we can praise. Our spiritual home. And it's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? Each and every one of you, each and every one of us is loved and precious to God because we are able to offer him something in service. Last Wednesday, a group of us met to enable others to explore what it is or what it might mean for them to lead worship, either as a worship leader or as a local preacher. We've called the group Exploring a Call. And I'm going to be very honest with you and say that in the southern half of the circuit, that is not something that we have had the opportunity to do in recent years. Praise the Lord, we have 6 people at the moment exploring what it might be to offer service as a worship leader or as a local preacher. And that's just wonderful. And I have to say to you, there's still time for you to join that group. We've only met twice. If anyone here is interested in just exploring how that call, that sense of calling just might be playing in your heart at the moment, talk to me, talk to Ben, talk to Stephen, we'll get you involved in that group. Or, of course, there might be an opportunity to start one up here in the north of the circuit. So there are people there exploring a new sense of calling, maybe. But each of us here, present this morning, we're each journeying with Jesus, each serving him in what way we feel called. And I refer back to our scratch cards and said, you know, every time you write a word on your scratch today, you are revealing something of what Jesus might be asking you to do, or revealing something new in your relationship with him. So as I say, those scratch cards are just for you, but please do use them. Having so recently merged together, both for yourselves particularly, merging 2 churches together, but also as a merged church circuit, I pray that we are all coming together cohesively as one fellowship with a new and exciting mission, a new and exciting way to serve. And I pray especially that God might reveal his purpose for you in this church and for us as a circuit, and that we might find new, uplifting, fruitful opportunities in which we can proclaim our faith and say, it's not enough for me, just for me to have a relationship with Jesus. I need to share it. I need to serve. I need to offer what I have found to others. And I hope that we are all listening in this new year, where God might be sending us in a new and different way, maybe. We heard earlier on a reading from Isaiah. His words of encouragement reveal God to us through every single one of his 66 chapters of his book. But I was really moved by these first few sentences from chapter 49 that we heard today. Did you notice that not in a single verse does Isaiah say how fantastic he is? He doesn't say, I've got some really amazing talents. And he doesn't brag, boast, say that he's got skills of communication or encouragement that outweigh everybody else's. What he does do is acknowledge that everything that he does have comes from the Lord. And Isaiah describes how God works in him. He's just a vessel. He's a pitcher. Maybe in this case he's a megaphone. But he's here to broadcast a message of faith to the people. So have a listen. I picked out one or two phrases here that Isaiah used. And he said, "From within the womb, God called me by name." So this was before Isaiah even had a sense of what faith was. He says, "I was being called even from within the womb." He said, "My God has given me strength." He doesn't say, "Actually, I'm quite strong myself." He says, no, he says, "My God has given me strength. He made my words as sharp as a sword." He didn't say, "Actually, I'm quite good at words. I found these words. I think they're very meaningful. I'd like to..." No, he said, "God gave me these words as sharp as a sword. He said he has hidden me in the shadow of his hand." And we love to feel that, don't we? That we love to feel that shelter, that warmth, that embrace, that knowing that God is around us and within us, nurturing us, caring for us. Isaiah experienced all this. He wasn't trying to do anything in his own strength, but only through the strength that God gave him. He said, "I am like an arrow in his quiver." And I like that one. He's primed to shoot. He's primed to target. He's primed to reach out and open another heart to what it is to have a life in serving God. Part of serving God is understanding that we can do all things in his strength. And that if we sit here and say, "Well, I can't do that because I could never do that," then all we're doing is judging ourselves as we see ourselves in our own strength. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." We each have a calling in some form or another. And we sadden God if we do not explore what that calling is. And it's a changing calling. So it's not the same calling that we had 5 years ago or 3 years ago. It's a changing calling. It's a moving thing. It's a growing thing. We are each challenged to live up to our calling and reveal our God-given talents that we can use for his glory. And we have to do that prayerfully. We have to do it earnestly. And we can't really truly know who we are to God or who we might bless through our service until we've brought it to Jesus, we've opened up, and we've explored that. But this we can hold on to with a certainty. We can all experience the gift of courage and the strength that it takes to serve. We can all call upon Christ's Holy Spirit to encourage us into that place of commitment. And in him we can be assured. Yes, we can be assured that we can be strong and capable and steadfast and undeterred. And you might say, "Never in my life have I been strong or capable or steadfast or undeterred." Well, maybe in your life you haven't, but with Christ's Holy Spirit, strengthening you and embracing you, you can be all those things. In Jesus, we find everything we need to power forward into further and greater service. Earlier on in the New Testament, we heard how Paul called not just one person, but the whole church to be disciples for Jesus. And in his first sentence, Paul acknowledges that he was chosen to be an apostle by the will of God, just like Isaiah had in his testimony. By the will of God, I have been chosen. And in verse 2, he declares to the people of Corinth, you have been called to be his holy people. Paul tells his readers that they may have been made holy by Jesus Christ. Now, these words just speak to us out through the centuries. These words are speaking to us just as they spoke to the people of Corinth. And they're saying to you, you have been called. You have been made holy for my service. Wow. That's an awesome responsibility. And it's very easy to respond to that by saying, oh, I'm not strong enough, I'm not capable, I don't have the talents. No, you don't. But in Jesus Christ, you do. Paul thanked God for enriching their church with the gifts of eloquence and every kind of knowledge. And he says that they have the spiritual gifts that they need. They needed to hear that, didn't they? You're eloquent, he said. You have the necessary knowledge. And you have the spiritual gifts that you need to be able to serve. And he says that Christ will keep them strong. God will surely do for you, Paul adds. For God will surely do this for you. For he always does just what he says. And he is the one who invites you into this wonderful relationship with his son. Powerful and inspiring words, both for the Corinthians and for us. What it is to be invited into a relationship with Jesus. What a privilege. And Paul affirms the Corinthians' privilege of belonging to the Lord and receiving his gifts. And then he tells them, go and use them. You've received these gifts. You know me. You love me. Now go and use these gifts and serve me. Now, Paul was given a unique and very special calling from God to preach. We each have known, or each can know, our own calling. Although it won't be the same as Paul's, and it won't be the same as anybody else's. But Paul's letter inspires us, his readers, so that each of us responding in our own way can seek what it is that Jesus calls us to do, what contribution we can make. Each of us receives that calling and encouragement today through Paul's words, just as his original readers did. And each of us is challenged in just the same way as his original readers were by the words that Paul wrote. Each of our hearts can be warmed and energized because we are assured And we are motivated because we have been chosen by God. So I pray that we might each respond to God's call by trusting in the love he has for us and trusting in the strength of the Holy Spirit, trusting in his promises and in his reassurance that he will be forever with us when we offer to serve. I pray that each of us here present this morning might come to consider today as the day when we chose to respond, a day when we saw, I'm going to use the word revelation, but I mean it in the sense of the reveal that you have in your scratch cards, the day when a new and amazing way to serve him was revealed to us. And I pray that today we accept Jesus' personal challenge to us to reveal him to others with just the same love and fervor and conviction through both which Isaiah and Paul both responded. I'm just going to have a moment of reflection now. Perhaps you'd like to take up your scratch cards. Maybe other words will come to you, be revealed to you. But this is a time for you to be on your own with your Lord. I just want you to rest comfortably in his presence and just to listen to what he might be saying to us all this morning. So I invite you to close your eyes, to be comfortable, and to relax in his presence. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Imagine that you are enclosed safely in God's hands, within his gentle embrace. While you are held gently, God is preparing you. Think about your strengths. What are you good at? God knows your strengths and God nurtures these. What does it look like and feel like for your strengths to be nurtured personally by an amazing God? While you are held in his embrace, he is preparing you. Yes, you'll be thinking about your weaknesses, things that you might need help with. But God knows those weaknesses. He knows where you need help. And he can work with those. What does it feel like for your weaknesses to be unburdened from you, for your Lord to take those on and to place in their place a new strength? It's a warm and safe place being held by God. But now we must ready ourselves for more. Soon it will be time to go back out into the world. But what do you take with you? How has God revealed himself to you today? How has he asked you to serve him in a new way? When you are ready, I invite you to slowly open your eyes, to become more aware of the sights and sounds around you, but to hold on tight to the thoughts that have passed through your mind just in these last few moments, so that as you leave this place, you continue reflecting on what was revealed to you through this personal time with Jesus. Have a look at the scratch card. Have you written something on it? Is there something that you still need to write on it? Is there still something that will act as a reminder to you in the week of how you feel in this moment that Jesus has approached you? And as black turns to all the patterns below, remember that's how God reveals himself to us in Jesus. And how he reveals our calling to us in this moment of quiet and in our prayer time. And finally, we pray together, dear God, you have revealed yourself to us and we believe you are calling us. We ask you to continue to reveal who you are to us, and also to reveal to us who we can be for you. Lord, reveal to us more of who you are. Teach us to be ready to listen, to reach out to our calling and have the courage to respond. Help us use our meditations this morning, Lord, to love you more, to serve you better, and to reflect your love more fully into the world we share with others. These prayers we pray in and through your precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.